This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Master Connector of Aftermarket Professionals, Carm Capriotto here. Welcome to the Town Hall Academy, episode 218, Managing Family Business Dynamics. You know, all too often we're subject to the stereotypes associated with family working in business together, like favoritism, nepotism, and even an entitlement culture. But with a clearly defined role in supporting their learning curve, you can actually celebrate having family involved and enjoy watching your business flourish. My panel shares their wisdom on walking the fine line integrating family into your business. Hey, thank you to our great sponsors, Shopware and Shop Marketing Pros. Now, when was the last time you heard a customer say, "Hey, thanks for taking my money"? Get Shopware Shop Management software and your customers will be shouting it from the rooftops in overwhelming five-star reviews. Learn more on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, when someone searches for a shop, who are they finding? Your competitors? Well, it should be you. The good people over at Shop Marketing Pros know how to drive website traffic and make Google work for you. On the web at shopmarketingpros.com. Hey, you can watch the video of this episode and find the key talking points at remarkableresults.biz/A218. And be sure, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Now, remember, the podcast is a very personal experience that connects like-minded people from all over the aftermarket through a shared love for personal networking and being a forever student. And don't forget, listen to learn just one thing. Judy Walter from Zimmerman's Automotive, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Judy, I've known you for, I think, 6 years now. You've been a great contributor to the podcast, a generational business. Boy, if there's anyone who's got some great tips and ideas, and I'm sure she'll share a challenge or two about a family business, it would be Judy. John Klarkowski from Auto Pro Service in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Hey, how you doing, man? Nice to see you, John. Good to have you here. Your mother's in the business with you, huh?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. We've been in business for over 30 years and it's been an interesting adventure. That's for sure. Definitely. It's great working with mom though. I tell you, just get to see her every day.
Can't wait to hear right now. And I just found out that mom's Italian. So that I get that. I understand. Joe Hansen's with us. Gordy's Garage, Roseville, Michigan. Gordy's Garage is named after dad, right?
That's right. Still working too.
We have talked family in the past on the show and we've done, over 900 episodes. And as I hang out on so many panels during the weeks and all the people that I know, I find such an interesting mix of family, legacy, business. And one of the things that I've known forever, because I came from a family business, I also worked for a very large family business. I get it. I've been there and done it. I don't think there's a scenario you can throw by me that I can't relate to in some way. But one of the things that I am so big on, Judy, and I want to go to you first, is the expected role of any family member in the business. What's wrong is that the family member joins the business and they just are never defined what they're going to do. None of the other members of the team know. Well, all of a sudden, young Johnny is here and we have no idea what young Johnny's going to do. In fact, young Johnny doesn't even know what young Johnny's going to do. And for so many times, we as leaders never help define the role. Now, Judy, do you agree with me on that?
I agree very much. We've been that path many times.
Can you expound on that just a bit? I mean, you know, everyone knows Jackie Howard. She's been on the show. She's your daughter. She's a key part of your business. You've got uncles in the business. You just lost your dad. I'm so sorry for the loss of your dad, especially during COVID. What a terrible thing. But your dad and his brothers created the business. And now here you're the president, I'm assuming?
I'm the CEO. I'm not actually the president, but there's a reason for that.
Sure, I understand. But you are the CEO, and for sure, Judy, family dynamics is a big thing. And I'd love to hear a little bit about more on the role that, even for example, you've set for Jackie.
We have a pretty hard and pretty fast rule is that none of our kids will work in the business without working somewhere else for 2 years. They can work in a competing business, same type of business, but they have to be somewhere else, work somewhere else, go away to school, something like that. They have to get out from under mom and dad's wing, whatever. And that has really, really been valuable, because when you are born into a business and you are just expected to be there, you bring entitlements, you bring all kinds of junk that's just can't be there.
Boy, you just said a mouthful. Born into the business without any further education, without any experience anywhere else. And you come in and mom or dad say, oh, they have my genes. They must be smart. They must be as smart as me. And you let them go without any tutelage, without any training, without any coaching. And if you don't listen to the rest of your team, you'll find out you made a mistake. Joe, were you born into the business?
I was born in Bay 2.
That's his bay.
That's right.
All right. That sets it up.
I was pretty much born into the business. I was, 5 years old when my dad started the Gordy's Garage. And I've been here the whole time. Now, to Judy's point, you know, it was important to my parents that, you know, I got out of the shop. So I did have other jobs as well as worked here. I did landscaping. I worked at a restaurant for, I think, 10 or 15 minutes. I was like, I'm not doing that. That's crazy. And then I've been working here, you know, majority of my life. I did go to school and all that. So it was important, you know, like Judy said, it was important that I try to find my own way as well, because there is a point where, I mean, if you're bringing up a second generation and it's assumed, or it's without spoken word, but if it's just assumed that they're going to take it over, if you will, or buy it or run it or work in it, you know, that can be a lot of pressure on the kid, if you will, you know. And sometimes there's also, you know, that level of responsibility, like the second generation or the kids could think, oh, I can't go anywhere else because they need me. And that could be detrimental to the family dynamics big time, because if they feel like, oh, I'm here because I have to be here and I can't live my own life and make my own way and have my own identity, that leads to resentment long term. And that can be dangerous. So I couldn't agree more with Judy on that. It's important to push and say, go try this. Go see if you want to do something else. Go, get out of here and see if they come back. Because if they don't, you know, and you kept them there, you just limited their life, and that's not fair.
Is it difficult, Judy and Joe, put yourself in your dad's shoes or maybe in your future shoes. Is it difficult to say, Judy, you got to go somewhere else and work before you ever think of coming to work for the family business? Yeah, I know, part-time during school you came in and you did stuff for us, but no, full-time, you got to go somewhere. Is it tough to say?
It can be tough, but if they've known it's the precedent, it's what's always been done before, and you didn't break the rule, then it's easier to accept. It's easier to say, just make sure that that is what's going to happen. And it's easier to accept if you're the person that has to go somewhere else.
If you're the leader of a business and you see family coming up under you, okay, start talking about that now. Start talking about the fact that, hey, you're good with your hands. I think you like what we do here. You love coming to work on Saturdays with dad, or, you know, hang out with us on the evenings, or talk business with me, or fix the toaster. Maybe you can fix cars. Remember, you're not coming in the business unless you go out and get yourself a job somewhere else. I'd love for you to go to school. I'd love for you to get some specific business coaching, take some business courses. But one day, you got to have a couple of years under your belt. It's got to be one of the hardest things. Joe, could you say that to your son?
Yeah, it's interesting because my son, he's 10 right now, Ethan, and he's always like, hey, dad, can I come down to the shop? Can I, one day I'm going to work. He said, I'm not going to go to college. I'm going to go work at the shop. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, well, number one, you're 10, you know, and I don't say that to him, but in my head, I'm like, okay, he's 10. He doesn't really know, but there's two ways to look at that. It's like, I say to myself, should I tell him, oh, you should go to college and do all that? Because I mean, I did that, but that wasn't my path, you know? And then, or should I just say, yeah, you should just focus on the shop and be part of Gordy's Garage or whatever, you know, evolves into. And I honestly can't say I know the exact right answer because he's 10, you know, so I don't know, but I want him to do what he wants to do and what he's good at. You know, that's what I want. That's all I want.
If you said to him, I know you want to come to work for the shop, but, you know, Dad would love for you to do this, this, and this, and that, that, and that, and then come to work for the shop. And even if he's 10 and he's got the energy or the excitement to come, you've just basically laid out his career path, which includes school, a job somewhere, and here at 10 years old, oh, it might be just the best time to talk about it.
Well, what's fun is I did say to him, okay, let's come down to the shop. I want to see if he likes it, right? Because it's one thing to, oh, look, Dad's got a business he can go to. That looks great. You know, they only see the positive fun side of that at home, because we don't go home and complain if there's bad stuff. And so I brought him in and we have the big push broom. I taught him how, you know, this is a broom. This is, you know, because this is, that's what it's, that's how my dad, he said, there's a broom, clean up after my, after I fix that car, go clean that up. You know, that's how I learned, you know, to be in the shop environment. And then you move up from there, right? That's just it. So I think introducing him to the beginning stages of it will definitely help him form his own opinion of what he wants to do down the road, for sure.
Great points that were just brought up. John, I want to bring you in on the conversation. Now, I know you have mom in the business, but one of the reasons John is here is because he worked for a lot of years for a family business, and he learned what not to do.
Yeah, so, and this was, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, so times have changed a little bit, but when you work for a family, the business is predominantly that one family, then you really, you see a lot of the dynamics of their family. When the culture isn't of such where you're equal with that family, which is hard to do, to build a culture like that, you tend to feel like you're on a different page. And then there's kind of a separation then amongst the staff, the in the internal business portions of it. And it's almost a, not a them against us, but it's just not a fluid team. The team concept is kind of lost with that. Once I decided that I was going to start my own business, and it was my mother and I, we wanted to build this certain culture with the employees as we hired them and treat them like an extension to our family. And so we keep all of our trivial family issues away from everybody. They're checked at the door. They're not brought into the business setting whatsoever. Everybody's treated the same. Everybody feels like they're a part of a culture that is a family in itself.
Great point, John. Thank you so much. I appreciate your contributions to this panel. Joe, did your dad let you fail?
Yeah, he had to, right? Because if he didn't, that would be, well, it would do two things. Number one, it would show the other guy's favoritism, like John just said. You know, you can't do that. He never believed in that. I don't even think he understands that, to be honest with you. His final product of this business is my raw material, right? And that's a huge responsibility, because being second generation, I've purchased it from him. And to let a legacy like this go down in flames would be the worst outcome possible. And in order for me to run it successfully, he had to let me fail so I could learn. He had to let me just screw up when I was going to screw up, because no matter how much he taught me or how much he showed me, I'm still going to do my things the way I'm going to do them, right? I mean, that's just what we do. Second, anybody, that's just what we do. We're going to do it. We're going to try to do it our way. And I am very thankful that he did that, because it's crazy. I was just thinking of it this morning driving in, and I'm like, there's so many things that he said and taught and most importantly demonstrated through his work ethic and all that through the shop. And I fought it, right? I said, oh, well, no, I'm going to try it this way. I'm going to do it this way. And I just laugh, because so many times I'll be watching something happen in the shop, something going on, or I'll give advice to a younger guy here and say, hey, this is how you pull a car in. This is how you do things. And I'm like, gosh, dang it. He was right again. Like, he was telling me and he was right again. He was right again. So, but more importantly than me seeing that it was right now, is I learned so many lessons from him just giving me space to let me go out there and do things. Of course, not get hurt, but give me space. And let me give you an example. All the way from, you would think we're talking about car repair, you know, those examples, but I'm talking about the way that you treat the other teammates in the shop, the coworkers, the way that you interview them, the way that you fire them, maybe making a mistake. I mean, he's let me fire people when, you know, he was still the owner and it was a mistake. You know, there's been times I made a mistake. I shouldn't have fired that person. But he said, well, it's your decision. You do it and deal with those consequences. And hence I was changing oil for a while. Right. So, it's important to definitely go through that process, and it can be painful, but it's the process.
I am so infatuated with all these great stories about, you know, to live and learn stuff, Joe. What you just said to me is that famous quote that I'll never forget. The older I get, the smarter my dad gets, right? And that is so critical. We sometimes just can't accept, as the new generation coming up, I just can't wait to be in charge because he's doing this all wrong. And the older and more mature you get, the more you start doing exactly what it was that he was doing. And Judy, how do you nurture that? You know, here I'm the senior, been there, done that, all this great wisdom. I'm the owl of the business, and I'm trying to bring that person up with their own, I got to do this and I want to do that. Is there any kind of magic there that tempers but yet let them open their wings?
I think it's almost a gift of the older generation to be able to just step back and let it happen. I've seen so many examples where I don't want her to make the same mistakes I made, so I'm going to make sure that she doesn't. And that's not fair. That's just not fair. You can share your mistakes, but you really need to, like Joe said, you need to let that person fail. One of my biggest things my dad taught me is, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I do, and I won't change it between you and your customer, but I reserve the right to armchair quarterback this with you tomorrow. And, you know, we'll talk about it. Why didn't you do it? Why did you do it this way? Why didn't you do it this way? And the big thing is recognizing that there's three ways from A to C. Some are directly through B, some go out around the right way, some other goes the left way, and everybody has to find their own way.
You know, my big takeaway here, and I've never heard it put like that in all my years, quarterback it. And it goes to, I think, Judy, one of the things that you wanted to talk about is, listen, we're not going to argue about this, we're not going to fight about this, we're not going to have a cat fight at the business. And because we have to show mutual respect for each other, but also, Judy, you don't want to take that stuff home. So business is business, family and home is home, but you still want to like set someone, say, listen, let's talk about this tomorrow. Everybody has a chance. Everybody's hot-headed, for example, if something happened. Anybody can explain that, if you will, time out, let's talk about it tomorrow.
The one thing that I guess I could look back on, and I was thinking about this, the way that we treat, so I'm the second generation, right? And so maybe I'm talking to people that are second generation or going to be, I should say, and you're working for your parents or your family, whoever it is. At the end of the day, you're going to either be regretful of your relationship with your family or you're going to be grateful. And the part that will make you regretful, the grateful part we get, right? The regretful part will be not giving things time to work themselves out and talking and treating your father, your whatever, with disrespect. Because even though you think you know the way that you, in your new thinking and the new age of doing business, right? This is what happens with me. You really don't, because experience trumps your new ideas all the time. Not saying that they're not good ideas, but they're new ideas. And sometimes you think you're so right and there's such a better way of doing things, you can get resentful of the others in the family because you think you're right. And at the end of the day, that will build up exponentially over time. And as your parents get older and you start thinking they could be gone tomorrow, that will be regret. And you won't be grateful. So it's important to just take a breath in a family, any environment, but mainly family environment, because there's so much emotion, because it's exponential, because it's emotion. You love and care about these people because they're your family. So you have to take a breath and think it through and react appropriately so you don't make harsh decisions, statements, comments, actions that you'll regret when they're gone. So you always have to have the end in mind when you're working with family.
Hey, Carm here, and learn some important rules for family that must be adhered to. Are you stuck in small ticket rut? Well, that's exactly what happened to Dominic Linden and the team at Autobahn Service in Sheffield, Massachusetts. With the busy day-to-day bustle of shop operations, they didn't have time to chase customers for approval. They were caught in a cycle of low AROs, and they were losing those higher ticket jobs to competitors. Autobahn Service was introduced to Shopware, and just a few months after going live, the shop was so busy with new jobs that they actually needed to lower their car count. They are now able to be selective with the services they take on, and profits have never been better. Additionally, by tapping into Shopware's digital estimating capabilities, Autobahn Service has noticed an 89% average approval rate from customers. Their average RO before Shopware was $450, and now it's up to $700. Now that's a 55% increase. Do the math. Reach your customers faster and get approved dollars up. GetShopware.com. Are your competitors ranking higher than you in search? Is your marketing company using plain vanilla recycled content? And does your marketing look like every other shop's and you're not even sure it's working? Powerful, effective marketing is not cookie cutter. It should showcase all of the things that are unique about your business. Don't you think you deserve better results? It's time to make a change. Our good friends at Shop Marketing Pros are past shop owners and industry veterans. They get it. Their process is pretty simple. Listen, create, and do. They spend time getting to know you and create a unique marketing message and then do the heavy lifting for you so you can do what you do best, run a shop and fix cars. Do yourself a favor. Give your shop the top-notch marketing it deserves. Schedule a call today on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. That's shopmarketingpros.com. Don't wait. Do it now. Judy, growing up, did your dad ever say, listen, Judy's in charge of this particular area, she'll have the final word on things? Was your dad helping to define the particular roles that all the family members played?
Growing up, younger years, no, he did not. However, when I became more and more involved, the responsibilities said it more than probably him saying it out loud, as in, I'm now handling this or I'm now handling that. And that made a difference. And the other side is my dad sort of led the business, and my mother became very ill when she was young, in their late 40s. And so I was kind of there, stepping in, doing a lot of my dad's duties that the rest of the family did not really know that much about or how to do it.
You're right. Hey, thanks for some great people that are hanging out with us. An example here, Greg, of course, Greg Buckley, Family Business. My experience is you need to have a definition, a purpose, and a reason for each family member that works in the business. I just think, Joe, John, Judy, that makes it so much easier to discipline, to teach, to actually have the rest of the team understand. And how many family businesses, and I think we were talking about that earlier, that, you know, don't really recognize the role that individual has. And in some cases, they run amok and they screw the business up.
That can definitely happen. Our family had meetings. I have two brothers and they worked here a little bit over the years, and it got down later in the years. We had a family meeting and said, what's the plan? Do you guys want to be a part of this? Do you not want to be a part of this? And if so, this is how it'll go. That's probably one of the best things we did, because it almost created like clarity. They were like, no, I'm going to go do this. He's going to go do this. And I decided I'm going to do this. And it was simple. So they never were really in the business real deep. So
you just mentioned the word family powwow. And I've been involved in a few of those family powwows at different levels, either our family business or the one that I worked for. And the roles were so definitely set that if you all got together as a team, Judy, I'm not sure if this has ever happened to you, Joe or John, but this is, listen, we've got a decision to make. The family makes the decision. No matter if you voted yes or no, everybody leaves the room behind that decision. So there's a unified front amongst the team. And I'm not sure that really works.
In our business setting, everybody makes the decisions together. We have brainstorming meetings, and it doesn't matter so much. My mother is a part of these meetings, and she has her say as well. But it's not the fact that she has the same last name that she trumps any of the decision making or the ideas. They're all collectively gathered. And then we make a decision off of that. One thing that I'd like to say off of Joe's point about having any regret for family members and things that maybe are said or what have you is I think it's very, very important to still realize that these are family members. And then maybe at the end of the day, when you're driving home, you call them up and you say, you know, Sandy, Steve, I love you. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my mother. I want you to know I really love you. And make sure that they understand that this is just business. And at the end of the day, that you are family and how you feel about them. And make sure they know that.
Wow, what a great discussion. The dynamics of a great family business, managing those dynamics. I love where you guys are going with this. This is a wonderful thing. Judy, nepotism, that's kind of maybe an overlying thing here to make sure that that doesn't happen because the rest of the team can see it.
Oh, yeah, they certainly can. And I think sometimes it's an attitude that can be on both sides of the track. The employees assume that the person that's the family member is a jerk, even though they don't know them yet. And the other side is the family member can say it. Can act like a jerk and say, I don't care what you think. I'm so-and-so's son and or daughter and get out of my way. I know I had to fight extra hard to get, when we get a new employee, especially, I have to prove myself that I'm female in a male business, so I don't know what I'm doing. And Jackie has the same problem, but she's younger and some of them have seen what she's done. Many of them assume I'm where I am because I was born into the business, and many of them are surprised they are surprised when they realize that, I've been there and done that too. And I've just moved forward from that. So
I love what she just said, gang, born into the business. I don't know if we realize as family, the amount of responsibility that really means.
It's like being a preacher's kid. People assume things about you before it even happens. And I'm both. So
So the responsibility, yeah, it's huge. I mean, at some point it wasn't the right thinking, but at some point I was like, man, I have to stick around here because my parents, they need me. You know, I got a responsibility to help them run it. Would it even run without me? That's my ego going out, right? It wasn't true. That's what you do. Like when you're growing up and you're in it and you have responsibilities. When I was in junior high school, I was literally doing the QuickBooks and I had to learn it because it needed to be done. Right. My mom worked here too. You know, she worked with my dad and I've said this before, that didn't go that well. They didn't have a great dynamic working together. And so she stopped working and went here. And when she stopped, I kind of filled in at that point. So to me, it was a huge responsibility to be part of the business. And so I don't really know that I know anything else, to be honest with you. I can't really see myself doing it differently. So just a real quick story. My dad, the other day, we were having a talk in the back room. He's got his office in the back. He's 80. He comes in every day. He does stuff around the shop. I'm looking at him right now. The camera is empty in the parts washer. It's so funny. And I told him I had some plans for what I want to do. And he goes, looking back on all this. And he goes, I'm 80 years old, man. This just turned out awesome, didn't it? And I'm like, yeah, it did. He goes, it's just, I'm very proud of you. He goes, I worked really hard in the business in fixing the cars and getting it to a certain level. And now you're taking it to another level and you purchased it and you got plans. He goes, man, that's just awesome. He goes, I feel so good and so proud about it. So now I look back, right, with that whole thing of having the end in mind and looking at it going, man, this is so cool because he's actually getting, he's done his thing, right? And he's still active and all that, but he's getting to see it, to keep it going, And to me, that level of responsibility is not like a responsibility. I welcome it because it's so gratifying to see. He is so happy about it. Like he's so proud of himself for what he's created. And it's just like, it's not money. It's not anything. It's just like a family doing something great. You know what I mean? And it's, there's so much more to it than just policies, procedures, things like that. There's a purpose. Look what he's done. It's just crazy. So I don't know if I explained it well. It's an emotion.
Joe, I'm jealous of you because your dad told you that he was happy and things are great. And look what you're building.
And he's obviously proud of you, Joe.
And it's,
yes, he is.
And I'm proud of him, you know.
It's not only the responsibility of the young people and what we give to them, but it's the nurturing of them and providing them that kind of guidance, because sooner or later says, I'm not sure I made it yet. I don't know if I made it yet. And I'm still working that, I'm still climbing that ladder as a son in a business, and I don't even know if I'm on the right ladder. And that level of guidance, not only failing forward and helping with all of that, but giving great nurturing guidance along the way.
And he actually said in that conversation, he said, just so you know, I think I'm going to take a vacation. I said, oh, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to get my dog. I'm going to go to Minnesota. My sister's starting to get old. She's 83. I'm going to go see her. I said, sweet. You know, and he just felt it almost was like closure. He's like, okay, it's running. I'm going.
Joe, you know, God Almighty, who would have known that 80 was going to be the defining moment there?
Yeah, I don't think he's done yet, but...
Wow, I love it. So you still work him every day. Isn't that amazing?
He's here at like 5:50 in the morning. Like every day he comes in and when it snows, he's really excited because he gets to plow. He's here at like 3 a.m.
And by the way, as far as a family dynamic, Judy, you probably can share this too. You cannot kick your dad out of the business, Joe, because he'll die.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm very aware. And we need him still.
Because he's going to clean the parts washer when necessary, right?
He does all the things we don't know that need to be done.
And the beauty of that relationship, Joe, is he still doesn't want to run the business. He has come to terms with, you run the business, just let me come here and be part of it. Because, man, I'm osmosis. I mean, I'm part of the fabric of this place. I can't leave it.
He has a corner in the back of the building where he stores his lawnmower, his welders. He's got a huge plow, a new truck, 2014 with like 12,000 miles on it only, because he only drives it when it snows. And then he's got his office back there with the TV and he surfs Facebook for about 5 hours a day. It's funny.
John, with mom in the business, such an interesting dynamic. I mean, was she one of your lightning rods when you first started?
Yeah. You know, she always gave me that moral support, the voice of reason, that sort of thing. When I would get tunnel vision, she was able to look a little bit bigger picture than me at times. I was concentrating so much on just getting cars fixed and that sort of thing. And so she did so many things with the bookkeeping that I didn't even understand when I was starting out. You know, and then it was that motherly love and support, the moral support that she'd give me every day. And it's funny, we're talking here, Joe and his father and their relationship. Our relationship now, she said to me, probably 3 or 4 months ago, she said, do you ever think of all of the stuff that we went through and look at where we're at now? And, she just puts things in perspective, and she's always done that. And that's like one of the many things that she does for me that it's so important that I get to enjoy when I work with her.
I love where this thing is going. Thank you to so many of our wise friends that are commenting on Facebook. Greg Buckley says, I dare them to kick me out of this place. Bury me under Bay One. I don't know, Greg. I think that you'll find something to do. Because I think there's no way we kick all the great old aftermarket people out. Let's go back to the family dynamic of making sure that we talk business at business and family at family. Judy, I know that had to be a very difficult thing for you guys. Share some advice.
What can tend to happen is if you get, and it happened especially with one of my partners, married couple, their way of interacting with each other is to bicker at each other a little bit. And that just became so unnerving. The people just went crazy. It's like, oh no, they're fighting again. I can't stand it. I met a family business once that there was 3 brothers involved and their wives were involved too, but they were not in ownership name. And that's the situation we have. Say the person's name was Joe. Joe's wife could come in, but anything she did had to be in his office, nowhere else. I thought that was really good advice. In other words, she did not just say, well, I'm going to go over here and sit in the mainstay or in the main part of the office where everybody else is, and I'm going to do this. anything she did had to be within the structure of his office. And I thought that was a really good example for, it worked really well for them. And I could see that that would too. And I think you have to recognize sometimes that you don't work well together with this person. And so you got to stop. And you have to understand my dad and his older and his two brothers, they're very, my dad was a very, very strong Big D personality. And he yelled a lot at, but he loved them. He cared for them, but it really, really used to get on the employees' nerves. And that we had to curb that. Look, we can have our discussions. We can have our bickering, whatever, but it's not allowed to be done on the floor. Because many of the times that's how they solve problems, right on the floor. And it just doesn't work that way. It has to be privately, take it somewhere else and not in front of the staff.
I get it. Very important. I know that happened, Judy, a much more dynamic business. Joe, it's just you and your dad, John, you and your mom. But when there's a lot of kids in the business, moms and cousins and whatever, critical to define that stuff. If not, you start getting loose at the ends. I would love to try to summarize this a little bit and go around the room. I know you all submitted me great, great talking points. And if there's a critical issue here that you really didn't have a chance to make earlier, let's do this. John, I'll start with you. I'll go to John, Judy, and then Joe. John?
Just comes down to culture. And, you know, that's what we talk about all of the time is maintaining that positive culture. And the only way you do that is by everybody feeling that they're a big part of the team and that team concept. And, you know, everybody will watch each other and see how each other is treated and how they treat each other. And then we'll judge the business and all of the different facets of it. And so in order to maintain that culture and to retain your team so that you're not constantly having a rotating door of employees and team members, you have to really look at those aspects and the family dynamics portion of it has to be separate. It cannot be entwined so that the other employees are alienated in any way.
Thanks so much. Great advice, Judy.
I have to say ditto to everything that John said. And one of the biggest things for me that we had to learn is keep checking at the door, whether it's the personal problems from home or family problems from home, let them outside the door, or the business problems from within, check them when you leave, when you check out at 5, whatever time you're going home, check them out. And probably there's one thing that I didn't bring up. One legacy that my dad taught me is the simple, effective kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. But he didn't like the simple, stupid. He called it keep it simple, sweetie, because he was talking to me. And he said, and it's as simple as, say you get a letter from the IRS in the mail and it's thick and you're going, oh my God, don't freak out. Read it first. Keep it simple. Make sure you know the whole situation and then you can react later. Now, he never really told me that you're supposed to freak out, but you know, and even the angry customer walking in the door, screaming his head off, let's really find out what's going on. Because it could be that something really bad has been going on in his life. He might have lost his job or this. And he's really angry, but it's not all at you. And he always said, analyze the situation. Keep it simple.
It almost sounds like your dad had a really cool way about him putting things in perspective. But at the same time, he was a realist. And he says, don't get upset to the IRS until you really know. And then go screaming mad, right?
He just meant there are situations that you got to get a little emphatic about. And my dad was definitely Stormin' Norman because he did do that sometimes.
Stormin' Norman. Well, great memories with your dad. Hey, Joe, I'll give you the final word on this great family dynamics.
I can only speak from, you know, my experience, and it's been a great ride so far. And I think that we always need to make sure that I need to make sure that I always focus on celebrating the fact that it's a family business and we work together. I just do the math. I've gotten to spend time with my dad every single day almost for however long I've worked here my whole life. That's something to celebrate. The wins that you get when you're in a business are great, but when they're family, they're really great. And when you have downs and you're in a family business, they're bad. But they're really not as bad as they could be because you have your family there. to help and support and all that. So I know we have to treat our businesses like a business, but I need to always, and we always need to make sure that we celebrate that the family dynamic and what can be so great about it and protect it with everything that we got.
I think your point is so well taken. We're so wrapped up in the business. We're so wrapped up in family that when we get together on the holidays, we talk business and we don't celebrate family. I love that. In fact, I think that could be a heck of a strategy. Celebrate the family business. Wow. Judy Walter, Zimmerman's Automotive, Mechanicsburg, PA. Thank you for your great insight, Judy. John Klarkowski from AutoPro Auto Service in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And Joe Hansen, Gordy's Garage, Roseville, Michigan. Thanks for your great wisdom. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.